You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
So if you've ever read the New Testament before, chances are you would have come across a parable or two. If you're not familiar with what a parable is, here's a good definition. A parable is a teaching tool used to convey a concept or a big idea using narrative elements that are common, easily recognized, and usually representational of something else. Very clear? That's not a clear definition, is it? Here's an even clearer one. A parable is a story shared to impart a spiritual lesson. That's a better one, isn't it? A parable is a story shared to impart a spiritual lesson. Jesus spoke so often in parables, over and over again during his earthly ministry. In fact, in Mark chapter 4, verse 34a, I'm reading the New Living Translation, Mark says that in Jesus' public ministry, he never taught without using parables. That's what Mark describes. He never taught without using parables. So you might be thinking, well, what's with all the parables? Why doesn't Jesus just say things straight? Wouldn't that be easier? Wouldn't it be easier if all preachers just said things straight instead of going like this around to the point? Why didn't he make all of his teachings clear and easy to understand for everyone? There's some valid questions, aren't they? Well, we're going to explore them today. Because there are many, many reasons why Jesus chose to speak in parables. I'm going to share six quick ones with us this morning. Here's the first. Jesus spoke in parables to engage his audience. Who doesn't love a good story? We love stories. Humans love stories. What happens when you hear someone, a gifted communicator telling a story? What happens? You're drawn in, aren't you? There's like this instant connection. If it's a really good story, you're captivated. You're hanging off every word. You're waiting to see what's going to come next. Maybe if you've watched a TED Talk or listened to a world-class communicator at a conference or online, you'll know what I'm talking about. And as Jesus did, if the storyteller shares stories that are not only engaging but are actually relatable to your real everyday life, what's likely to happen? Well, chances are you'll remember what they say because it's relatable. And as a result of that being so memorable, likely you'll go away and reflect on and ideally apply what they've shared later on. Would you agree? Absolutely. That's the beauty of podcasts. If you're not listening to podcasts, I encourage you. In our day and age, there's no excuse to not grow in whatever sort of form of knowledge you'd like to know about. Podcasts are a great way to do that. Anyway, so Jesus spoke in parables to engage his audience. Now, here's the second related point. Jesus spoke in parables to illustrate complex spiritual truths in simple ways. One reason Jesus' teaching was so engaging for people back then and also for us today was because he was a master at this. He taught on the most profound of topics and then was able to communicate them in such a simple way. You know, Jesus didn't talk like a theologian, like he'd swallowed a theology book and, you know, have you ever met someone who talks like that? I have. He didn't spout out the same lofty Pharisaical speak that people were familiar with from religious leaders of the day. You know, they'd go through the marketplace or into the temple and they'd see the Pharisees and the Sadducees and they'd be spouting off all this kind of stuff that even they didn't understand what they were going on about. Jesus didn't teach like that. He sought, most of the time anyway, and we'll get to that, but he sought to speak at his hearers' level, talking about experiences and objects that his listeners would have been familiar with. You know, if you think about it like this, Jesus taught on the full gamut of theological concepts, really important ones. What did he talk about? He talked about the kingdom of God. He talked about judgment, grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, and countless other topics. But he did so by using examples from agriculture and nature, talking of seeds and birds and nests and trees. He used examples from business, talking about talents and treasures, and of course family life as well. All things that Jesus' audience then and us today can very easily relate to. And this is another reason why Jesus spoke in parables, to illustrate complex spiritual truths in simple ways. Does that make sense? All right, here's another. Jesus spoke in parables to encourage personal reflection and application. To encourage personal reflection and application. Not only are we effectively engaged in complex spiritual truths through Jesus' use of relatable parables, but he invites us through parables to actually place ourselves in the parable as we engage with them. For example, maybe you've heard of the prodigal son before in Luke chapter 15. If we're familiar with the story, we might immediately relate with the lost son. The lost son who rebelled against his father, took his inheritance before his time was up, squandered it all on reckless living, and then in his lowest moments recognizes the foolishness of his choices, pulls himself up out of the pig pen, which was the most degrading place to work for any Jew, and he decides to apologize, return to his father. And then as he sees his father approaching, what happens? He's left practically speechless because he sees his Abba, his father, running. And Jewish men just didn't do that in those days. That just wasn't done. He sees his father running toward him, embracing him and forgiving him completely. And as if that wasn't good enough, not only did his father forgive him completely, but he returned him into a fully fledged, full authority member of his own family. Maybe you can relate to that. And if you're not familiar with that parable, here's the thing. The father in the parable is God the Father. So it's very easy for us to relate, isn't it? If we've been walking our own way, We've had a life before we came to faith in Jesus. We can very much relate to that. Even in our day-to-day, we can relate to being one who chooses to walk away from God, but then is blown away time and time again as we return to God and experience his forgiveness. Yeah? So many of us find it easy to relate to the brother. But here's the thing. There are many other characters in this parable too. Perhaps some of us can feel a little bit like the older brother who really struggles as he sees his father extending radical love and forgiveness to his brother who just does not deserve one little bit of it. Have you ever noticed that before in the parable? The brother, he's steaming. He's upset. He's thrown by the radical grace his father shows. Or maybe as we think about the father's heart and willingness to forgive his son completely, despite the immense hurt and offense it's caused him, we actually feel sick because we recognize our own hardness of heart and our own sin towards someone who has wronged us, someone perhaps we ourselves are refusing to extend forgiveness to. Or maybe even we see ourselves as a bit of an outsider looking in, like one of the father's servants, just observing, taking it all in, not really sure if we're quite ready to fully trust God quite yet. Friends, when we place ourselves in the parables and allow Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, do a work in us as we're meditating on Scripture, as we're reading, as He's moving in our hearts, when we engage in Jesus' teaching like this, what's going to happen? We'll be challenged. We'll be stretched. And not only that, we will be positioned to change. And that can only be a good thing. Wouldn't you agree? Someone does. That's good. So that's the third reason. Jesus spoke in parables to encourage personal reflection and application. And here's another. Jesus spoke in parables to reveal and conceal truth. Matthew records Jesus' teaching on this exact point in Matthew chapter 13 from verse 10 to 13. It reads, "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand.'" Like in the Old Testament, God or a prophet would say, "Let him who has what? Ears, hear. Let him who has ears, hear. Let him hear." And Jesus spoke in parables both to reveal the secrets to the kingdom of heaven and also to conceal the secrets to the kingdom of heaven. He would reveal them to those who had a humble spirit, had ears to hear, had a heart that was soft to the things of God. And his parables would act in such a way that they would offend and even further harden a heart that was hard toward the things of God. Does that make sense? Essentially, Jesus is saying to his disciples then and to us today, he's saying, if you have spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear, you will discover the secrets of the kingdom of heaven through my parables. But, if you have a hard heart or are spiritually blind, these secrets will remain just that to you always. And friends, right here is the very power of a parable. The power of Jesus' parables. For those who want to learn, for those who want to hear, for those who are hungry for the things of God, profound spiritual truths can be discovered and chewed on and enjoyed and treasured in this life. Yeah? Is that good? Absolutely. Life-changing truth, precious gold, can be mined once and twice and three times and then 1,000 times and then 1,000,000 times over entire lifetime until we are in glory with Jesus. That is the wonder of God's word ultimately, but in today's context, we're talking about the parables of Jesus Christ. And for those who don't want to learn, well, They'll hear the parables of Jesus, but they won't actually hear the parables of Jesus. The secrets of the kingdom of heaven will be exactly that, secrets to them. Why? Because they refuse to actually listen. They refuse to heed to Jesus. They refuse to bow the knee before his throne of grace and say, "You know what? That sounds wise, but I'm wiser." That's ultimately it. If you boil it right down, that's what we're saying. You know, we're saying, "Oh, that sounds good. I can see why that's good, but I think I know best." That's sin in a nutshell. That's rebellion, thinking we know better than God. All right. So that's the fourth reason. Jesus spoke in parables to both reveal and conceal truth. Here's the fifth. Jesus spoke in parables to fulfill prophecy. Psalm 78, And verse 2, for instance, this is seen to be fulfilled in Jesus. It says this, it says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Many scholars believe that that is directly referencing Jesus Christ, that he would open his mouth in a parable. Mark says he did nothing, he taught nothing without a parable, and utter dark sayings from of old. What did Jesus do? He did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. So he's continuing on in the ways of God, teaching, extending, stretching, taking further. I'm getting way off track. So if we read the passage we read before from Matthew chapter 13 in its broader context, Jesus makes this link to fulfillment of prophecy. Matthew 13 through 17 says, Then the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, To you it has been given to know the secret of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has, not even what he has will be taken away. Even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Listen clearly. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their what? With their heart and turn. And what would God do? And I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Really clear right there, isn't it? Jesus makes it abundantly clear. One of the reasons that he spoke in parables is actually to fulfill prophecy. Okay, here's a final reason to share with us today. And I would say this is perhaps one of the most important and challenging for us. And it's this. Jesus spoke in parables to reveal the true condition of our hearts. Jesus spoke in parables to reveal the true condition of our hearts. King Solomon reminds us about the importance of the heart in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. He wrote, he says, Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, when Scripture talks about a heart, it's not talking about a physical blood-pumping organ, right? It's very important to have a healthy one of those. I recommend it. It'll go well for you. Talk to any GP. They'll say the same. But while it's good for us to have a healthy physical heart, that's not what Scripture's getting at when it urges us to keep our hearts with all vigilance, to care for and nurture our heart. What is a heart, according to Scripture? Well, A. Craig Troxell, his professor of practical theology at Westminster Seminary in California, that's a mouthful, imagine putting that on your business card. He explains what our heart is beautifully. He writes, The heart in Scripture conveys the totality of our inner self. We are governed from this one point of unity. From it flows the springs of life. It is the control center, the source of every thought, the seat of every passion, and the arbiter of every decision. All of it is generated from and governed by this one point of undivided unity. That is why everything vital to the Christian life, your speech, repentance, faith, servants, obedience, worship, walk, and love, must be done with all your heart. A few scripture references there. The heart is the helm of the ship. It takes a bearing and then sets the course of your life. As goes the heart, so goes the person. Isn't that great? I really like that. As goes the heart, so goes the person. Friends, if we keep our heart with all vigilance, what's going to happen? Our hearts stay soft. Our heart will stay soft towards God, and the springs of life that come from God anyway, rivers of living water, the springs of life that come from God will flow out from deep within us. We'll grow continually as people who love God and love others. That's the good news. But the flip side is also just as true. If we don't keep our hearts with all vigilance, what's going to happen? Our hearts will grow cold and hard toward God and His priorities. And what will actually happen is they'll grow warm to other things. They'll grow warm and receptive to other pursuits and other pleasures instead. We will do what we're not designed to do, and that is we'll worship created things before the Creator. And as a result, the springs of life, think of, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus-like character, beauty, kingdom revelation, those kind of things will not flow out from us at all. If we don't keep our hearts with all vigilance, our hearts will deceive us. They'll become desperately sick, as Jeremiah 17:9 says, and they'll actually lead us away from pursuing and enjoying and abiding in Jesus Christ, which is exactly what each and every one of us have been designed by God to do and enjoy. In one of Jesus' most well-known parables of all, the parable of the sower, Jesus addresses this very topic. He highlights just how important the true state of our hearts is when it comes to hearing and receiving and continuing in His teaching. Matthew records it like this, chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables." There you go. "Many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." You know, in the parable of the sower, Jesus makes the point that all people, all of us here, all of us watching online, whether we're followers of Jesus or we're seeking out, is Jesus someone worth following? All of us have a choice how we respond. We will all respond differently to his teaching depending on the condition of the soil of our hearts. Would you agree? Some of us will have ears to hear and others of us won't have ears to hear. Some of us will have a spiritual openness, a soft heart toward Jesus, and some of us will have a spiritual hardness, a hard, sick heart towards Jesus. And as a result, what's going to happen? We'll receive differently from Jesus. It's as simple as that. We will receive differently from Jesus and from his teaching. As one writer explains, those who had open, receptive hearts could understand the deeper meaning of the parables, while those who were spiritually hardened or prideful could not grasp them. Jesus' parables often expose the spiritual condition of the listener, and they continue to expose the spiritual condition of our hearts today. As we find ourselves here today, this morning, in the very presence of God, at the start of a series called The Parables of Jesus, I think it's pretty obvious that we'd do well to just pause and stop and consider the state of our own heart today. Whether you're currently following Jesus, whether you have been following him for decades and decades, or whether you're on a journey of seeking spiritual truth, looking for meaning, purpose, and life in something beyond what you can buy or experience in any hedonistic pleasure. Just encourage you, take a moment to pause and honestly reflect on these questions. Think about this. What is the state of my heart toward Jesus right now today? Where am I at? Do I have a soft heart, a heart that's eager to hear and respond and walk in the ways of Jesus? Or has my heart, or perhaps is my heart, hard toward Jesus and his teaching? Friends, the parables of Jesus are beautiful treasures, absolutely beautiful treasures. And as Jesus says, within the parables are the very secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And if we're going to be people who have ears to hear, we need to position ourselves, posture ourselves to hear. And we do that by having hearts that are soft and receptive to Jesus and the things of God. What's going to happen if our hearts are soft? Just as Jesus explained everything in his teaching to his disciples many years ago, here's the promise for us. If we do that, if we ensure our hearts are soft towards Jesus, towards the things of God, Jesus will also explain his teaching to us through the revelation of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. That's a sure thing, friends. Isn't that a great gift? As Mark 4:34 says, in fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. Listen to this. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Friends, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have divine access to divine revelation for the word. You read something, and someone said it earlier today, I don't think I quite grasped what Paul was getting at in Romans or something. That's great, because then the next thing we can do is we can say, God, I don't get this, but you do. Would you give me revelation? Would you help me to seek out the right counsel from someone in my community? Or would you give me, as I'm sitting here, God, I just really need to understand this. Will you show my eyes? Will you help my ears to hear? Will you help my eyes to see what you are saying in this passage? And what's going to happen? He'll honor that. Just as Jesus explained everything to his disciples when he was with them in person, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Spirit, the very Spirit of God dwells within us, he will reveal to us the secrets of the kingdom of heaven too. Is that good news? I think so. Something to be excited about. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to pray for all of us. I'm going to pray for us collectively at the start of this season, Freudian slip, start of this series, new seasons and new series. And I want to pray for each of us that we would do what David did in Psalm 51:10, that we would all, no matter where we're at right now today, that we would echo David's heartfelt desire and ask God to do this, to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, Lord. Create in us clean hearts, God. Renew right spirits within us. Lord God, we're sorry for the times when we have hardened our hearts toward you and the things of God. Lord, living in this world, it's just so easy to harden ourselves, to dull ourselves to what is truly important, what is truly life-giving, what is everything for us to enjoy. But God, we thank you that you understand. You came in our, you came as a human. You came in the form of Adam, man. You know what it's like to be tempted. You know what it's like to deal with a world that's plagued by sin. And yet, Jesus, we rejoice because while you were tempted in every way, you remained pure. You did not give in to temptation. You did not sin once. And because of that, God, we can trust you. We can cling to you. We can know that you're able to empathize with our weakness. But not only that, God, you're able to pull us up. You're able to get our hearts into a healthier state. And so, Holy Spirit, today we just invite you to create in us clean hearts. Create in us clean hearts. Renew right spirits within us. Not spirits that look out for number one. Not spirits that say, these are the true treasures to be enjoyed in this life, looking to what the world offers. But God, hearts and spirits that are captured by you, that are pointed like a ship, the sail or the rudder is just moved in such a way, positioned so that we are just going straight for you. And Holy Spirit, as you do this work in us, God, we pray that you would do a work in us right now. But God, we pray that that work would continue in the weeks and months ahead. As we continue in this series, God, would you be creating in us new hearts, renewing right spirits within us? Because God, we don't want to go to the left or the right. We want to be firmly planted on the rock. We want to have the foundation that is the only true foundation in existence, and that is the Word of God as our everything. So, Holy Spirit, would you do this work in each and every heart here today, each and every heart that is listening, watching this back? Have your way in us. We are hungry for you, Jesus. We want more of you. Do the work in our hearts. Renew that right spirit within us. And then, God, as our hearts are soft to you, would you reveal and pour out revelation into the very secrets of the kingdom of God as we open your word and read and feed and enjoy you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Move in our lives, we pray. Give us ears that can hear, that are not dulled. Give us eyes that can see. And Lord, would you give us hearts that are soft, so we can be close to you and receive from you for our good, for your glory, but also for the good of the world around us, so that we can be people who can love our neighbors well. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.